News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Where we start, though, is with the Clacton by-election. As was predicted, Nigel Farage has romped home with Count Binface coming a distant second, although Count Binface received something to the order of 9,000 votes, which for somebody who is dressed as a bin is a fairly remarkable commentary on what a large proportion of the Clacton electorate thought of Nigel Farage. Lucy Fisher is with us. She's currently Whitehall editor of the Financial Times. Before that, she was chief political commentator at Times Radio, author of The Martyr Suffragette and Women in the War, The Last Heroines of Britain's Greatest Generation. Lucy, before we get into analysis of what this means for British politics, maybe give us a sense of the numbers and the results.
Well, it's certainly the case that Nigel Farage had a decisive victory. Very unsurprising in one sense, given that the major political parties beyond Reform did not stand a candidate. So Labour, the Conservatives, the Lib Dems, the Greens, even Restore Britain boycotted the poll, saying it was a stunt by Farage designed to avoid scrutiny of his financial affairs after the parliamentary sleaze watchdog opened an investigation into him a couple of months ago. Nigel Farage will be very pleased this morning, nonetheless, that he returned a higher number of votes yesterday than he did in the 2024 general election in concrete terms. There had been a lot of speculation that turnout would be right down, but in fact, it was around 44%, down from the 59% in the general election, but still pretty buoyant for a by-election and for such an unusual by-election, given the major parties were not standing. Overall, Farage won an extraordinary proportion of the votes, over 65%, whereas Count Binface also did, incredibly well for a novelty candidate, almost unheard of that level of success, given it's a joke candidate. So, yes, I've got the figures in front of me now. Farage won 63% of the vote, and Count Binface won 27% of the vote. And to put Binface's success or extraordinary high watermark in context, Count Binface has only won a maximum of 1% of the vote in all six previous parliamentary and mayoral contests in which he stood.
Now, I don't want to read too much into it by virtue of the fact that so much of it was novelty candidates, but if we take the turnout numbers and what Farage got, if the likelihood occurs that we may be back here again if the parliamentary committee finds against him, it's hard to read into that the likelihood that either the Conservatives or Labour would outdo him, because that seems to be a fairly solid, continuous, grassroots supporting vote for Nigel Farage. 21,000 in the last election, albeit on a higher turnout, and then 22,000 this time.
That's absolutely correct. But I think we should also note that the incredibly robust level of support for Farage in the Essex seat of Clacton does not appear necessarily to be mirrored across the UK. And I note the YouGov net favourability tracker marks that Farage's already low ratings of minus 35 at the end of last year plunged to minus 46 last month, which is on a par with the nadirs of the ratings for both Keir Starmer and Boris Johnson during the very worst moments of their premiership. And at the same time, Reform's own poll ratings have also trundled down a bit this year. And in recent weeks, we've seen the burn and bounce, and Labour has overtaken Reform for the first time since spring last year. So it does feel like both Farage and Reform have been under pressure this year. But clearly in Clacton, voters are standing four square behind the Reform leader.
That slide in Reform, how much of that is thanks to the issue of that £5 million tip that was given to him by one of Reform's largest supporters? I think by a mile, one of Reform's largest supporters, the now Thai crypto billionaire. That has now been discussed and discussed and rediscussed and justified by Nigel Farage. Is that beginning to make people cynical about him?
I think there is a sense that, you know, he there are questions about how he has conducted his finances. But interestingly, there's a very buoyant level of support for him among his supporters who don't seem to care. You know, I went to Clacton last week, and there it was the case that many voters were saying, you know, well, I don't care about that donation, or I don't believe that, I believe it's fake news, the scrutiny about it. Or even, you know, suggesting all politicians take, you know, huge personal gifts from external benefactors. He's no different. Now, that isn't the case, but I found it was a very interesting, slightly depressing misconception that voters on the ground, or many of them, seem to have.
And lastly, Lucy, what now happens in respect of the inquiry into that payment and whether or not he should have declared it to Parliament?
That will automatically resume. That is the case this morning. We expect that it's simply the case that Daniel Greenberg, the Parliamentary Standards Commissioner, his probe will automatically reopen. And so, you know, the scrutiny will return on this. And it could be the case that the Parliamentary Commissioner also begins to look at other parts of other claims against Farage, including the suggestion that he failed to declare benefits in kind in the run-up to the election from George Cottrell, a long-standing aide of his, who is a former convicted fraudster.
Lucy, as ever, thank you very much. Lucy Fisher, Whitehall editor of the Financial Times. 53106, if you'd like to get in touch, or 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.